Good morning, we're learning Shmuel Bet. We are in the middle of Perek Vav. We're up to Pasuk Vav, which is found in our packets on page 236. Yes, last week, unfortunately, I wasn't here.
Oh, well, I didn't miss anything.
Last Monday, unfortunately, there was a Leviathan, yeah. So, the Perek opened discussing how David wished to bring the Aron Elohim, to bring the Ark, the Aron, to Yerushalayim. And this was one of, certainly, the stages and steps to ultimately build the first base of Mikdash, is what he always wanted to do. Unfortunately, he won't be able to, as we'll see in a later parak. But nonetheless, he wants to bring the Aron, and he had many people accompany it, and seemingly did so with tremendous honor. In fact, he went out of his way, and he got a beautiful wagon, in which some say it was brand new, to show its honor. Some say it was the same wagon from the Plishtim, when the Plishtim, as we saw in Shmuel Aleph, when they captured the Aron, and a lot of problems happened to them physically, they decided to ship the Aron back to the Jewish people, and they did so on this wagon, and miraculously, it found its way on its own. The animals miraculously just knew exactly where to go. So either way, David chose this wagon, which on the surface seems to be a very nice thing, but we discussed that it really wasn't. In fact, this is something which is a direct transgression against what the Torah says. The Torah says that when the Aron is brought from one place to the next, one cannot put it on a wagon. Rather, it needs to be physically carried on. You're pointing to the shoulders. Right? You need to be carrying it, and not any person can carry it, but the Levian, as we're going to see, are the ones that are supposed to be the ones that did that avoda. So because of this, we're going to see, unfortunately, something terrible which is about to happen, which is, in again, Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav opens on page 236. Yes?
So why did that happen? He didn't know or he didn't care?
Oh, so we're going to see shortly when we, in the Radak, is going to share with us an approach. It is found on page 236 on Pasuk Vav, which will be the first Pasuk that we're going to be seeing, why David, for some reason, felt it was not necessary to actually have people carry it, but rather that it could simply be on the wagon. But David made a mistake. But we'll see the Radak's reasoning, but it's a very valid question. David is obviously knowledgeable. He obviously knows something which is written black and white in the Torah, so why did he violate something which is so obvious? So obviously he had some rationalization to feel that he wasn't doing anything wrong, but we'll get to that Radak after we see the Pasuk, which we will do so now. So the Pasuk Vav, again on page 236, says as follows. The Pasuk says, V'yavau ad Goren Nachon, that they went to this place called Goren Nachon. Nachon, the Masudas Sion translates, it's just a Shem Makom, just the name of a place. V'yishlach Uza El Aron Elokim. So Uza, name of one of the children, as we saw in the previous couple of psukim before, that he stretched out himself, his hand, for some reason. The Ochismon, he grabbed hold of the Aron. Why? Kisham to Habakar. Kisham to Aron, translated in the English as the oxen had dislodged it. In other words, the Aron, can you imagine, you know, a person, let's say, he's holding onto a Sefer Torah and they lose control, they do Hagba, and all of a sudden you see it falling, so everyone starts running toward it so it doesn't fall, which is a great thing, just to let it, just to sit there and let it fall, that would be a terrible thing. So Uzzah seemingly did a very courageous act. He saw that the Aron was about to slip because the animals somehow caused it to fall. Obviously it wasn't the animals' fault, but that's what happened. So Uzzah was there to, literally, to save the day and to grab hold of these of the Aron.
Isn't Uzzah David's son?
No. If you look back on Pasuk Dalid, is that correct? It's the Aron was in the house of Avinadav, and then it says,
Pasuk Gimel.
Oh, right, correct, Pasuk Gimel, and it mentions the two children, Uzzah and Achio. So those were the children of Avinadav, and they're the ones who were accompanying the wagon. They weren't holding it, but they were watching it and walking alongside with the wagon. So Uzzah was pretty close.
Avinadav
was a person who had the Aron in his home for many, many years.
Who was he?
He was just a guy. In fact, in the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, when the Aron was placed there for various reasons, partially because of the happenings in Shiloh, which was destroyed, and for various reasons they decided to put it there, he was a person who was willing to have some storage space in his attic, and that was it. Tremendous.
Was he a lady?
Yes. Apparently he was not a Levi. That's what it seems like. I'm sure it was brought down to Shmuel Aleph. I just don't recall. I don't think he was. Right. That's so. It must be he was not a Levi. Right. Right. So that's why I'm thinking he was not. And the question is, why was it put in his home?
Right.
I'm not really sure. But nonetheless, that was the person that they chose. But it was there for many, many years until they thought it would be the right time, which David being the new king and conquering Yerushalayim as he did in the previous parak, now to bring the Aron. So, let's see some of the commentaries. First of all, the word Nachon is an interesting name for a place, Gori Nachon. Nachon could be just as Masuda Sion translated, the name of a place. It could also mean Nachon.
Correct,
which means proper, which means Nachon could mean it was a proper place for this incident to occur, or Nachon has to do with the proper or improper way in which the Aron was being treated. If we look in the English on page 237, the first paragraph where it says 6, in the middle thereof, quoting the words of the Mahari Kara, it says that this area was not rocky or uneven terrain that caused the ark to slip. On the contrary, the ground was flat and smooth. Rather, God caused the oxen to dislodge the ark as a sign of his displeasure. The ark was being transported by the wagon, which it should not have been. But maybe the word Nachon means that the ground was all smooth and prepared, and it was a terrifically great place, so that no one should think the reason why this happened was because of the terrain, because of the ground. There was no reason, no logical reason that it should have happened at this particular place. And that's the reason why we mention this specific place, so that people realize it was some sign that Hashem provides that he was displeased by these actions that had nothing to do with the actual environment, the ground, or the setting. And we look at the Mesudas David over here in Pasuk Vav, to begin, which kind of discusses some things we said already. Vishlach Uzzah Hoshites Yado. We said that he stretched out his hand and he actually grabbed hold of the Aron so it wouldn't fall. He shumped to a barker because, after all, the animals had dislodged it. Now, Nuhu Mimkomo, that it was shaken and moved from its place. V'choshev Uzzah, and Uzzah was concerned and he thought, Sheipol min ha'gola. The Aron's going to fall straight down onto the ground. How disgraceful, what a bizoyim that would have been. We look at Rashi. Rashi then discusses this similarly and says in Pasuk Vav, Ki shamtuhu habokar v'nanuhu, which is similar to the words of Mesudas David, that the animals were caused it to move from its normal place. And we jump down a couple of a line, quoting from Sefer Devarim, V'nidcha yado begarzin, similar to a person in which the person who kills or manslaughter is chopping with his axe in the wood plant, in the forest, and the blade from the axe flies off from the handle, v'nidcha yado begarzin, which is the same idea of what was happening, that there was movement, there was shakiness of the Aron, and therefore it seemed as though it was going to fly off as the blade flies off the axe in that situation, killing someone. And then thereafter, let's moving on to the words of the Radak, which is going to explain why David, among other things, why David actually thought that this was okay to put the Aron on a wagon. So Pasuk Vav, the Radak says as follows. If we begin, so a lot of Radak over here, it was the first wide line, which is Kishamtu Abakar. And then just a few words into it, it says Kolomar. First wide line, about 7 words in. Kolomar is to say, Nisparku Evirehem Mikadushas Aron. Not that the animals just accidentally had slipped, but rather something happened to their limbs. That the oxen had become debilitated, as some translate, or their limbs just completely withered away into nothing. They disintegrated. Mekedushas Aaron, from the great holiness of the Aaron. Of course, the animals didn't do anything wrong, but nonetheless, the purpose of animals is hopefully, among other things, in creation, is to teach mankind a lesson of how we should and should behave. And therefore, this was, unfortunately for those animals, a bad day for them, as their limbs withered away. It was not befitting for them to be the ones that were pushing and carrying, pulling the wagon and the aron. Rather, it should have been on the shoulders, as we said, of the Levium. That's how it should have been carried. And if we jump down two lines toward the left, which you'll see the words begin with Nikudos, toward the end of the line, Levnei Kahasel Nasan, Ki Avodas HaKodesh Aleihem Bekasev Yisahu, that when it came to the children of Kahas, they were the ones that were instructed to carry the Aram. So says the Radak to address the question, Chatabazan, that this was the sin, this was the mistake. Lefikach, therefore, Herolam HaKadosh Baruch HaKadushas Aron Mishnei Pa'an Panim. Now Hashem showed the greatness and the holiness of the sanctity of the Aron in two manners. First of all, Mishmitas HaBakar, causing the animals to stop in their place, ultimately because something happened to them physically, whatever that is. Mamos Uzzah. And as we're going to see later on, soon, next Pasuk, that Uzzah, this man who grabs hold of the Aron, seemingly doing nothing wrong, but rather he wants to be keep the Aron in a dignified manner, he died. Hashem caused this man to die. The Indian Hashem shagged David Bazeh, Hadav or Mikra Mefarish. This is the area in which David was shogeg. He made a mistake. It was an accident. Because what did he think? This is the Radak I was sharing with you before. Chashav David thought. He didn't do anything wrong putting the aron on a wagon. The question is, how could David have thought otherwise? The Torah says that the Levites need to carry it. Why would he think that you can put it on a wagon? Because David thought as follows. He said, the only time in which it was necessary for the Levim to carry was only when the Jews were wandering in the wilderness and when the Mishkan was dismantled, taken apart, and reassembled. Why would he think that? The Torah says that it must be carried by the Levim. It should always be carried by the Levim. Why would he think it only applies when the Bnei Israel were wandering in the desert? So the Radak explains the logic of David. Because when it came to the Mishkan and all the heavy parts to construct this huge building, it was allowed to be pulled and carried with wagons. The Mishkan was allowed to be with the wagons. Therefore, because the Mishkan was with the wagons, Siva Lotse says Aaron because Siva Haras ki Kedushas Aaron Gedolah Mekedushas Mishkan. Then Hashem said, out of the two, what's of greater sanctity, the Mishkan itself, the building, or the Aaron, which is placed in the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh Kedushim, obviously the Aaron. And therefore, this is what David thought. Since in the times of the Midbar, in which we had two things to bring, we had the Mishkan, and we also had the Aron, I understand why we had to carry the Aron, to distinguish the Aron from the Mishkan. The Mishkan, which is of course holy, but it could be moved by wagons. So the Aron, which is on a greater level of sanctity, to show it to everyone present, all the Jewish people in the desert, it had to be carried. However, says David, Abel Bezman, Shalom HaYisham Mishkan, but now, are we transporting the Mishkan to Yerushalayim? No. What are we transporting? Only the Aron. So Chashav. So this is what David thought. She'ein chet. I'm not doing anything wrong. Im yasu bagol. If I put the Aron in a wagon, because we're not contrasting it to anything else, because there's no Mishkan. The only thing that's being brought is the Aron. So maybe that's why the whole prohibition of putting it in a wagon was only the times of the Midbar, but not now. Therefore, he made a mistake. But oh, kibah. That was his mistake. The Ode, and furthermore. He also remembered that the Aron got back to the Jewish people by the means of a wagon through the Plishtim. So you're going to derive a proof from the Plishtim? So the Plishtim aren't the greatest of people. But the answer is, how did it get here? It got here miraculously. So it must be, if in fact Hashem wouldn't have been happy with the fact that it was in a wagon, then this miracle would not have happened. Hashem would not have guided it back to us. So therefore, he thought, therefore, we're allowed to use the wagon to bring it back to Yerushalayim. Of course, the logic was a little twisted, because maybe Hashem was not happy that it was in a wagon. But Hashem also wasn't happy that it was in the hands of the Plishtim, so therefore he allowed this wagon to bring it back to the Jewish people. Now that we have it, we should know better, and therefore we should not have used wagons. So that was the possible explanation.
Didn't send people with it. They sent it by itself.
Right. They were
in the back.
They were in the back watching to see.
But it wasn't being led or something like
right.
Uzzah was.
Right. Exactly. That's another distinction. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope I'm not going off on another area, but I find it such an interesting parallel. The whole concept here, to my way of thinking, is you have to listen to what Hashem says. You cannot veer to the right or the left, whether you can rationalize it or justify it or whatever.
Right.
And the same thing happened with Shaul. Because I asked the question of several people, why did he say, oh God, why did he do that?
Right.
I don't think there's a source, but the reasoning that was brought forth to me, well, in those days when a king was captured, he was brought to a public place, and he was killed publicly so everybody could see what was happening. And
right.
That's the way Shaul thought.
Right.
And with that thinking, he was punished because he didn't listen to what Hashem said, and I see a parallel here.
Right.
But he also saved some of the animals. He wasn't allowed to do that either.
He wasn't. There he was afraid of the people, because the people didn't want to. I mean, that they wrote clearly, you know. The other one is a little bit of conjecture. But I can just see that kind of parallel.
Right. This is right. That's the danger of thinking that you understand when the Torah is applicable, when it's not applicable, and I can make an exception here, an exception there. And the truth is, maybe you're just rationalizing, and it's not the correct way, which unfortunately was David's mistake. Right. Well, for David was not killed, but obviously he's going to accept some level of responsibility for his actions. Just to see a couple of the paragraphs in the English which are worthwhile pointing out, the second paragraph by Pasuk Vav, in the middle thereof it says, when the Jews crossed the Jordan, the Yardane, the Kohanim, who would carry the ark, were miraculously lifted over the water and deposited on the other side, all in full view of the people. That's what happened. I'm on the left side on page 237. Uzzah should have realized that if the ark was able to miraculously lift up those who carried it, then it certainly did not need his help to prevent it from falling. That's something which we're going to be seeing in the next pasuk and many of the commentaries on the facing page.
It sounds to me like it was just a spontaneous thing.
Yeah, point is, I mean, you see, we react that way. All of us are human beings, and that's how you react.
Right.
But they are supposed to be on a higher level, and that's
right.
What they talk about afterwards.
So the idea which is also found really in the next pasuk, this concept is that if a person has a pen, for example, and you let go of it, you know that gravity will take its course, it's going to fall down, so you have to catch it. And that, unfortunately, was the mistake of Uzzah, that he looked at the Aron in the same way as something which does not have this level of Kedusha, of sanctity. And therefore, in his bones, in his guts, he did not feel and understand the greatness of the Aharon. And therefore, that you're right, it was just a spontaneous reaction. But that in itself proves that he did not really appreciate the Kedusha of the Aharon. If he truly appreciated it, he would have realized that nothing would have happened to it. And the fact that he ran after it showed that he considered it not much different than this pen, instinctively. And we look at the next paragraph, quoting the word of the Radak, which we kind of already saw. We saw Radak notes that Uzzah should not have dared to touch the ark with his bare hands, which was another mistake. Even the Levim who were permitted to carry it with only by its staves upon their shoulders. Uzzah was not even a Levi, which, there you go, should not have touched it. But then Abarbanel, which is an interesting Abarbanel, then we'll move on to the next pasuk. Abarbanel adds that the Jews' choice of a wagon to carry the ark seemed to be an imitation of the Philistines, of the Plishtim. Instead of the Jewish way, It is precisely this point that so angered God and prompted him to punish this sin so severely. The Jews had abandoned the laws of the Torah, choosing instead to mimic the practices of the native heathens, even with regard to the Ark of their covenant with God. So therefore, the mistake, as the Abarbanel places it, is that even when, with regard to our own religion, we started to try to mimic and act similar to that of the other nations. And therefore, we're supposed to, of course, have our own rules, and just because other people do it, we shouldn't be gravitated toward it. And even though we may be influenced by our environment, but certainly when it comes to religious practice, we should not incorporate certain religious practices in our heritage, in our religion, based on something which someone else does, another religion. So that's how the Abarbanel interprets the outrage that Hashem felt with regard to the pushing of the wagon. Right. True. On the other hand, we have to remember that Aminadav, who the Aaron was at in his attic for so many years, so the fact that he wanted his children, Uzzah and Ahiah, who probably were also there taking care of the Aaron or whatever they did, you know, in that area to make sure that it was preserved properly. There's some logic to understand why they should get the honor of accompanying it to Yerushalayim. But you're right, it is certainly a mistake. You should have had the Levium involved, even if not carrying it, near it. But unfortunately he didn't, which is going to, we'll see now, in Pasuk Zion, the anger of Hashem ultimately causing the downfall of this man. But Yichraf Hashem ba'Uzzah. So Hashem was angered at Uzzah, not at David. He was angry at Uzzah. Again, the idea, as we're going to see, we'll see in the Mefarshim in a second. V'yakehu sham helokim al hashal. Then Hashem smote this man, he killed this man, al hashal. Shal is translated as Mesudas Sion. There's different explanations of what this means. Inyan shikha v'shgaga, based on forgetfulness and negligence. That because he forgot the kedusha of the Aaron, he was killed. The Yama Sham im Aaron Elokim, and there he died together with, obviously the Aaron didn't die, but next to, alongside of the Aaron. So we look, starting off with the Rashi, the Mesudas Dov and the Radak, saying similar things. We'll see them anyway. Says the Rashi toward the bottom of the page of 236. Al Ashal al Shgaga, which is similar to the Mesudas Sion, that was a mistake. Shahoya lo lidrosh kal v'chomer, because he should have understood based on logic through an a fortiori, that he should have said like this, Nosav nasa b'yardim, which we saw this in English, that the Aaron was able to miraculously pick up, not only itself, but the people that were quote unquote carrying it. So who atzma lo kol shekein? So in itself, the Aaron certainly could take care of, right? You know, charity starts at home. You take care of yourself. You're going to fall, you'll take care of yourself. As they say when an airplane, what do they do when those masks come?
You take yourself, first you put it on yourself, then you assist
the child. Children, if you have time, you'll take care of them.
No, they
if
don't do that at all. That's not what they do. They want you to be in shape to be able to take care of
Right. But this is the idea. The Aaron would have certainly been able to take care of itself. As it takes care of others, it brought other people from one side of the Jordan to the opposite end, the other side. So obviously it was able to take care of itself. It would not have fallen. And therefore that was his mistake, that he did not remember this logic. He didn't study history.
But don't we learn we're not supposed to depend on a miracle?
Yeah. True.
You know, I think it's a very hard. It's a hard thing to even get a picture of your mind. If this aura is slowly going down, then he has time to process all that information that should have been. But if it's just going like that, then you do react.
It's a split second thing.
Yeah, right. And that's what
part of it was really.
And so for it. It seems like Uzzah was the sacrificial lamb in this situation, because everyone was guilty.
Right.
They weren't
right.
behaving properly. They were imitating the Philistines.
Right.
And yet Uzzah was the one who died.
Right.
No one else was. was punished.
Right.
And he was the one that was already was coming, that there was this man who was this big gadol, and he was angry at David, and so he didn't tell him
Achitophel.
So why wasn't he punished for not telling?
He will. He will be punished. He will die at some point, but we're going to need him for later on. So we can't die just yet. We need him. We still need him in a couple more upcoming scenes.
Well, because we look at it in human terms, you know, when Moshe was punished, not coming to Eretz Yisrael, he too didn't listen to Hashem's word. So
it's
very hard to.
It's as if Hashem said to Uzzah, "Don't touch it."
Or later say he did a bad thing.
I mean, the whole procession was incorrect.
Yeah,
everything about how they moved the ark was incorrect.
Yeah.
Not just what Uzzah did.
He was there. No matter who does the example.
He was the fall guy.
No matter who does the killing, a person is dead. So we feel like it was
So let's see a couple of these other commentaries, and we'll discuss a couple other things, and it may make matters better, maybe worse. But let's see. Masudas David. Masudas David, Pasuk Zion, says as follows. Vayichar, so Hashem was upset, al miyat ha'emunaso b'Hashem, from the lack of faith and bitachon toward God, lichsha sheepol aron el aretz, to think that the aron is actually going to fall. Next, Masudas David. Alashal al Hamase Shasa Bishkaga. Again, the same language. Shalal is translated as, it was an action, it was just a mistake. However, Uki'il Shachach Sha'aron Hashemhu. It's as though he forgot that the Aron was God. There was a godliness, spirituality connected to the Aron. To think that it would have just have fallen, it was a split second. But that meant, often it's when not when you're calm and calculated, when you can think, all right, I better make this decision because there'll be these consequences. But if someone is pushed against the wall and they have to make a split second decision, that really shows your true essence of who you really are. And the fact that he immediately ran after it showed that he didn't really sense the kedusha of the aura.
I could see the punishment the other way. If he would have done nothing, they would have said, how come he didn't run to save the ark?
But maybe he had done nothing, the ark would have fallen.
For those reasons, it's possible that this is why the Gemara feels that there's more than meets the eye. And the Gemara says as follows. It's not in front of us in our packet, but I'd like to share this with you. The second explanation is extremely difficult, so I'm going to need to elaborate on it before we try to figure it out, because it doesn't make much sense. So there's a dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. One of them says that the reason why he was killed was al iske shkaga, which is what we discussed, that he did something accidentally, that he grabbed hold of the aron. Now I'm going to just translate these words literally, but then we're going to understand it completely different, because on the surface it's very difficult to understand. The Chadomer one says shiasa srachav bifanav. Now this is a Gemara, and the literal translation means shiasa srachav bifanav, that he did his needs in front of it, which means that he relieved himself in front of the aron. He went to the bathroom in front of the aron.
Where did they get this from?
This is what the Gemara says. Now,
who did this?
Uzzah. Okay. So we'll get back to those words. That's what shiasa srach b'fanav generally means. We're not going to translate it that way because it doesn't sound very nice. I just translated it, but that's not how we're going to end up translating it. Now, the reality is, the Gemara says that even though he died, it says he died im aron elokim. That's how the pasuk ended. Why do we need to know that he died next to the aron? Obviously, he touched it. He was grabbing hold of it. He died on the spot. Immediately, it could mean. So the Gemara learns out that we can infer from here that he died with the aron elokim, with spirituality, means that Uzzah bal olam haba, that he merited, he was zocha to the world to come, even though unfortunately he died in this world, but he merited the world to come. And that's the possible inference of the why the pasuk ends, that he died im aron elokim. Now, if we want to translate that it was an accident, okay, it makes sense. Okay, whatever reason why he died, that may be hard to swallow, but to say that he deserves a chelek in olam haba, a portion of what to come, logical. But to say, shasa srachah b'fanav, the way we translate it, which I'm not going to do again, it's kind of hard to believe that such a person would even merit a world to come. Therefore, the actual literal meaning, shasa sarach b'fanav, doesn't mean that person relieved themselves, which is how some translate it. Shasa sarach b'fanav means that you did your needs in front of it. In other words, this is how other mafarshim and other commentators explain. Shiasa srachav hapratim with ne'aron. He did his own acts, things which he needed to do, things he was taking care of, things which pertained to himself, he did it in front of the Aaron. V'hisich daito mekedushas Aaron. And therefore he diverted his attention from the kedushas Aaron. So he was maybe reading the newspaper, or he was counting his money. And he said this is similar to a Gemara in Shabbos that says, with regard to the menorah on Hanukkah, that a person is not allowed to count money in front of the Ner Hanukkah. And he says the reason is because it shows a lack of respect. And therefore, this is maybe the true translation of Shiasa Sracha Befanav. That what he did was he was taking care of his own mundane matters in front of the Aaron. And the reason why we can maybe understand why this is the case is, again, it was in his father's house. And also the concept of familiarity breeds contempt. That very often when a person is around someone or something for such an extended period of time, then you lose the appreciation for it.
Becomes mundane.
Yeah, it becomes mundane. And therefore, the mistake that Uzzah made was that even though he was constantly around it for so long, he began to forget the tremendous kedusha connected to the Aaron.
While he was going with someone else, not exactly. That's why he just responded immediately.
Right. If he would have, he understood, he obviously knew that the Aaron had this tremendous power, but probably, right, he made this immediate reaction because he wasn't really, his head was not where it should have been. And therefore he made this mistake. And this is often the, if I may, there's a conversation that I had with one of my mentors, Rabbi Lieberman, Zecher Tzadok Vracha, who was a director of Judaic Studies in Stanford, and he would always get upset when the children in shul would make noise. I'm talking about in school. During shachar, instead of them praying and davening, they would make noise. And he would say, you know, if you go to a church, it's quiet. It's quiet. So how come when it comes to a shul, why is it so much talking? And the truth is, afterwards he comes up to me and says, I'll tell you, there is an answer. The answer is,
you're in shul
3 times a day, exactly. And that's the problem. The problem is that on one hand, it's a good excuse. Because we're around in shul so often, it's like, so you talk. When you're never in a house of worship, so when you walk in, it's like, oh, I'm in a house of worship. But when you're around it all the time, so unfortunately, you lose the respect. However, that's just an excuse. That's not acceptable. A person needs to still keep in mind constantly that they are in a Makom Kadosh. They are in a house of God. And therefore, that was also, according to this explanation, the mistake of Uzzah, that he forgot, even maybe for a short amount of time, because he was preoccupying himself with things which he shouldn't have been. Therefore, because of that, he diverted his attention, and therefore he was punished by not showing the proper respect to the Aaron.
You mentioned Asat Saracha Lefanav.
Where did they get that from?
The Gemara says.
But don't they take it from certain words that they pick up from the text? I mean, where in the text do they come from? How is that from?
This is. I'm taking the Gemara out of context, obviously. You're right. It's necessary for us to open up the Gemara and to understand it in context, to understand why they came up with that particular interpretation.
I'd like to have a class on learning how the Gemara came up with these things.
Yeah, it's certainly connected somehow to the word hashal, which generally is shkagah. But it also could have, see, he says over here, and I need to look this up, that it said there's a Rashi that says the word shal is a language of ki shal ze secha. Now,
is that word used anywhere else?
Yeah, it's found in the Devarim, the 28th chapter in the Sefer Devarim. But I'm not exactly sure the context over there so much over there as well. But the idea again, you know, when we quote a piece of Gemara, it's really better to understand everything that came before it and where it's what the flow of the Gemara is. But nonetheless, this is an interpretation that the Gemara does in fact say. Now, before we move on to the next pasuk, because you know we've already seen two whole pesukim, which is an accomplishment.
For us.
Yeah, definitely.
Sometimes, yes.
You'll notice that on the left side over here, it's a little. There's two gray lines, and that's not my faulty printer, or maybe it's not. Okay.
On the
left side of page 236, next to the Hebrew, isn't there?
Yeah.
Or it's cut off. Yeah. Which, and if you turn to the previous page on 234, you'll see it's there as well, because it's coming to tell us that this section, as well on 238, it continues, is what?
Is the Haftorah of Shmini.
Is the Haftorah for Parshas Shmini. For some reason... You pressed them for 2 seconds, that's good. Well, the reality is that if we stall just another week or two, which actually we don't need to, because we're still going to be learning this when we get to Parshas Shmini, which happens to be next week's Parsha. When Parshas Tzav, next week's Parsha is Parshas Shmini. Okay? Right, so the question is, why are we in Shmini, which the 8th day after the construction of the Mishkan and everything is this?
I can tell you, because of my interview.
Go ahead.
They made the mistake.
That's right.
They made a mistake, and he made a mistake.
Oh. Correct. So
there
just
are a lot of examples.
That's right.
They took it upon themselves to make a decision,
and
right.
They did it without asking anyone.
Right.
And,
also,
and they did it right after the consecration.
First of all, they were only 13, and
How do we know they were killed in Shmini?
Yeah.
How do we know they were 13 years old?
Sons of Aaron.
But all the lines have one. Now this has two. I never meant to notice those lines.
It's only there when it corresponds to a Haftorah.
So
that's one of the things that this Chumash does. This Nanach does. Helps us out with that. But absolutely, there's obviously a connection. Of course, Nadav and Avihu both tragically died. And ultimately, after that, people began to show, not that they didn't before, but certainly a greater level of Kedusha and sanctity for the Mishkan due to what happens in Nadav and Avihu, so too here.
Because they wanted to do good.
They don't know what they did. It's a remnant to good. You have to make up the rules as you go along.
You want to say that? Say that one more time.
No, it just looks funny. The name Abinadab.
So who's Abinadab? Abinadab was who? Abinadab. Yeah, it's very good.
Very good. I'm sure that's a remnant.
No, that's just so funny.
He's
right.
He's just funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not funny. I'm sure it's
funny.
I'm sure. All these names have.
So what does Abinadav literally mean?
My father donated.
My father, Nadav, right?
And he so donated.
And Nadav, maybe they should have learned from what happened in the episode of Nadav. They should
Nobody
have looked at my father.
Nobody talks about that.
I didn't see that. That's a very nice.
Very good.
That's very good.
That's very good.
Very good. But yeah, so we certainly see numerous connections and parallels between this. But now we can now at least understand a little bit better as to why this is the chosen Haftorah. Okay. Let's see Pasuches. Pasuches tells us as follows. So, unfortunately, he died. However, whatever the reasons were, but Yichar LeDavid. So, David was really upset. He was very angry. Al Asher Paratz Hashem Peretz Beuza that Hashem causes breach, or as the Masuna Sion translates, in his Shever, a language of breaking, that Uzzah became Sebrachan, he became broken, he was killed. But Yikra Lamakamahu parents Uzzah, therefore it was called this name, the breach of Uzzah, Ad Hayom Hazeh, so that everyone would know that this was the location where this tragedy occurred.
It's still a place. The word parats instead of misa or killing, like breach. What parrot is a breach?
A breach of what he was supposed to have paid attention to.
No? Right, right. Misa wouldn't really define necessarily why he died, but parrots maybe shows, as you're saying, that there was a mistake that happened over there.
He breached the law.
Right.
What did he do?
Well, we said a couple of possibilities.
He reacted maybe without thinking.
What did Moshe do with the star?
So, right, that's also a good question, but obviously they're talking about this.
What did Moshe do? He hit the stone twice.
But in both situations, we find that if he would have spoken to the rock,
yeah,
it would have been a greater Kiddush Hashem.
No, but 2 hours.
So over here also, it would have been a greater Kiddush Hashem.
Exactly.
That
would seem to us, simple people, that
it
was a big deal.
Right. But let's look now in the Mesudas David. So he was angry. He was angry at God. He was angry at Uzzah. No, Mesudas David says, V'yichur l'David, Mesudas David says, who was he angry at? Al-Atzmachar.
Yeah.
He was angry at himself. He was upset that perhaps even if he did teach these laws, or, you know, he obviously didn't teach them enough, or he didn't emphasize enough the importance of the Kedusha of the Aron. He shouldn't have used the wagon. He should have followed the way that the Torah described. He should have made those rationalizations. But the greatness of a David and of a leader could have just said, all right, he made a mistake. He was wrong. And I'm clean. I didn't do anything. A great leader accepts responsibility. He says, you know what? I'm not so perfect. I made a mistake. And that was the greatness of David. He was upset and angry at himself. He was angry at himself. It doesn't really say how he died, but he died. It doesn't say. Pasuk Tes. Vayira David as Hashem b'yomahu. So you can imagine, David was quite nervous, was afraid of God on this day. Vayomer eich Yavo Eli Aron Hashem. How is it possible that I should be able to take care of this Aron? And the Mesudas David, how could I bring this? How could this Aron be with me? And on this, the Mesudas David says, very interesting language. He says, the very last Mesudas David on this page, 236, he says, Es Hashem, which means Es Aron Hashem, focusing on the Aron, Ki Chashem, because David thought, She'i Esher, Lios Nizar B'Kedushasa. It's impossible for me to properly show the correct sanctity and respect that it deserves. Now, some of the commentaries say, which is in English, I'm not going to read, that it says that David was afraid of God on this day, that David was not a man of Yiras Shamayim. He was not a person who feared God. So the truth is, there's two levels. There's Yiras Hashem, there's Ahavas Hashem. And the greater level is Ahavas Hashem. But in this day, he had Yiras Hashem, which, again, sometimes a person could reach the level of Ahavas Hashem, but that doesn't necessarily mean that when you get to that level, you love God. Maybe there's an element of a lack of Yiras Hashem within yourself too. There's still that which you can work on and improve. And therefore it says that David had Yiras Hashem on that day, or an increased level of fear of God on that day. Let's see another pasuk Yud v'lo Ava David lohasir elav es aron Hashem al ir David. So no longer was David going to bring the Aron to David's city, known as Yerushalayim. Rather, what he did was, Vayatehu David beis Obed Edom Hagiti. Instead, he brought it to someone else's home, that it should stay there, because I'm petrified. This Aron is going to end up, you know, killing many. Instead, he decided, as it was before in Aminadab's house, now we're going to give it into the house of Obed Edom Hagit. So,
was he a
lame? If you look on the, we're going to see this more inside, but the English on the very bottom, the last line says, David rectified in one of his errors by putting the ark in the care of a Levite. We look in...
A Levi.
Oh, someone from Levi, right. So he was... That's where he came from, which you're right. Generally, that place is known as the Plishtim territory, but that's where he was.
That were in Canaan. Isn't Giti mentioned?
No.
As one of the tribes?
No, that's Hachiti.
Hachiti, but Hachiti, no?
No.
Girgashi.
Hagershi, what is it? Hachivi,
anything that rhymes with each other is correct.
It's called Giti because he had once lived in God.
Right. So it doesn't necessarily mean that he was of the non-Jewish faith. He said he was Jewish. And he was a lady. Okay, so if we look in the Mesudas David over here in Pasuk Yud, Mesudas David says, very top, "Biatayu nato osam aderach ir David el beis oivid Edom," which is basically what we said before, that he changed gears. And instead of me having to read the English, actually Rashi says, "Oivid Edom is Levi hoy," that he was from Levi. So where did he come up with this name? So the Mefarshim say that it's a play of words, that the Mishmat Zahav says as follows, that Oved comes from the word that he was an Eved, that he was like an Eved Hashem,
right,
which means
Levium.
he knew how to serve Hashem properly as
Levium
did.
The Avoda, actually, what
right, right. So therefore, that's appropriate why that's his name, because he was a man. Not necessarily it was his name, but that's what he did. Mm-hmm. That's what his job. Edom, Red. Why was he called Red? Doesn't necessarily mean that was his name, but rather Edim Pene David. We're going to see he made David's face red. Why does embarrassed? Shehu Hayam Misyarim Ibne Ha'aron Shlo Yemisenu. Because David was afraid, if I stay around this Aaron, I'm going to die. We're going to end up seeing next week that when the Aaron is placed in this gentleman's house, not only did he not die, but tremendous brachos occurred to him. And then
so
finally,
what happened with Abinadab, who had the Aaron in his house all those
years? He wasn't a lady.
Just because he wasn't a lady.
I think so.
Apparently so. So then that's what ended up happening. So now, no longer is it being in his house, going to Yerushalayim, but rather going to Oved Edom Hagiti.
Is that his name?
So the question is, Oved could mean he was an Eved Hashem, he was like a Levi. Edom doesn't necessarily mean it could be his name, it could also mean Red, that David was embarrassed that he could not properly take care of the Aaron, that he had to give it to this gentleman. And Giti, as we said, means he came from this place. And we're going to end up seeing the next psukim, and we can talk about these two psukim fast, but it's a very lengthy, a lot of talk about these next two psukim. I'd rather save them for the sequel, but we're going to end up seeing that this Aaron is going to be in their house, and tremendous bracha is going to happen. David will see the tremendous bracha, and therefore he ultimately will take it. And unlike the first time, where there were mesachakim, where they did not necessarily treat the Aaron with the proper respect, now it's going to be treated with respect, and therefore David, with tremendous joy, however, Simcha Shel Mitzvah, is going to end up bringing the Aron to Yerushalayim. Stop here.